And now, without any further ado, it is my absolute pleasure to introduce Joel McHale to the Inforum stage.
Are both of us?
Okay.
Yeah! Yeah! Yes! Yeah! 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 I wrote a book. That's right. Welcome, everybody. Melissa Kane from CBS, everyone. She's a political analyst, which makes a lot of sense for her to ask me about my book. This works out great. This is going to be a fun 3.5 hours, Melissa.
I'm excited.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You ever worn a body mic before?
Do what?
One of these?
Yes.
I feel like Justin Bieber.
I have. I feel like Madonna. I'm like, yeah.
You look way better than Madonna.
Oh, bless you. Just keep drinking whatever that is.
No, she looks like a... she looks like a something from outer space that just thawed. All right. Action.
Okay. Your show, your new show premiered.
The Great
last
Indoors
night,
on
the
CBS,
Great Indoors,
everybody.
Everyone, which I'm sure you all saw.
Thank you. That lets me know not a lot of you saw it. Thanks.
Were you nervous? Did you have a little watch party? How do you deal with sort of opening night of a
no,
show?
I was in Ridgeway, New Jersey, doing one of these. So, and I don't know if you've been to Ridgeway. Ridgewood.
that impressive.
It was a small town. I was literally in the basement of a bookstore, and not like a bookstore here, but it was a tiny little bookstore with a really shitty little basement that I called the killing floor. And so I didn't actually see it. Obviously, I had my family record it and watch it, so we got that same day playback. But I know, and so we taped the pilot in March, so I wasn't nervous. I was drunk, too.
Do you read the comments, the Twitter, the reviews about that sort of thing? People have different philosophies about whether to pay attention to that sort of thing.
Yes, so I can remember who will die. And my enemies. I like to see what the response is as far as whether a lot of people watched it or not. But it's so out of when Community started, I would have been very sensitive. But now, my heart has died. And so I don't... All I know, now I've gotten to the point, I think in a good way, where I kind of think, well, I know these jokes were funny. I felt they were funny when we told them. Stephen Fry is a hack, and he doesn't know what he's doing. But, he's a genius. So I was like, I was happy with the product. So if you don't like it, then you'll learn eventually.
You're going to get on that list. There was one review I saw that was in Russian, so I sort of Google translated it, and it said that you were a reporter traveler.
This is the only review you could find was in Russian?
The only complete review, yes.
Because a lot of people reviewed it.
Yes, but this one was listed on IMDb as the only official critic, was the one in Russian.
You went on IMDb to look for reviews?
Yeah, of course.
All right.
I won't tell you about the comments section there. They said that you're a reporter traveler dealing with, quote...
Can you do it in a Russian accent? You were a reporter...
Advanced modern...
Traveler.
Dealing with advanced modern overage adolescence. Does that sound about right?
Not really. It's kind of that way. It's been gotten... There's a narrative now about the show that all we're doing is making fun of 20-year-olds.
Is that a bad thing?
That is true, but my generation is the greatest generation. Tom Brokaw wrote about it, and my generation is made fun of, and then Stephen Fry, who's 60, his generation is made fun of. So it's all three generations, but there's a narrative that we are assassinating the millennials through satire, which is fine. It's better that people are talking about it than not. We're at a thing called a TCA, which is a Television Critics Association, where all these television critics sit in a room and they have their laptops out and they ask you questions. There's no response. You don't know what it is because it really doesn't matter. It's just a way for them to go to the Beverly Hills Hotel and party for 4 days when every single cast of every single television show comes out and hope and throws themselves at their feet that they'll say nice things. It's really useless. But this millennial reporter was like, why the fuck are you going after us? How dare you? And then our show creator said, let me get this straight. You're offended because you're being portrayed as sensitive? And then she started screaming, and then another reporter joined in, and I was like, this is the greatest thing that could happen. Strangely, she then came up to me at the CBS party afterwards and hugged me, and then the editor of Variety apologized. We're like, we're really sorry about what she did. She does that a lot. And then we're like, it's cool. I was like, it's the greatest thing that could ever happen. And then last week, she took the show out. She was like, this show, she absolutely went back on what she had said and just took us out. And so she will die. It was so, I know that all millennials are not super sensitive. I mean, just like anybody, it's, I'll stop.
Why?
Yeah, anyway, so that's not what the show, it's a workplace comedy with three generations in it. So that's the most general thing, and hopefully we're writing funny jokes. If anybody should be worried, it's the British, because we make fun of them throughout the whole series.
They're too polite.
They're assholes, so.
Well, in your book, you lament several times being cast as the smarmy asshole, the boyfriend, the boss,
right.
The both. Is it nice to be in a role that's different from all of that?
I am a smarmy asshole in this. I mean, I am snide and I throw out insults all the time. So in that way, it's similar. It's not like in Ted when I was licking the bottom of a chair or the seat of a chair after Mila Kunis left. So
it's a low bar.
High bar. How dare you? Number one comedy in the world ever. But no, yes, I have played a lot of dicks, but this one is slightly different because my character cares about what he's writing about. So I guess that's slightly different. I'm happy that, believe me, I liked being cast that, and it's fun, and people paid me. But eventually I will play the greatest role of that I plan to play, Joan of Arc. So soon.
I believe
that will happen.
Now, in your book, you talk about starting out by going into acting, by taking acting classes and starting in plays. So you didn't start out as a stand-up comedian.
No,
you started,
I didn't start that until after the soup aired because my agent said you could make a lot of money if you go out and do stand-up. And I was like, money? I agree. But, you know, the book is the book is Recess. The book is, we make fun of, because I think that celebrity memoirs, for the most part, don't deserve an entire book because their lives are just not that interesting. That Unbroken guy, that one, though he didn't go into acting, that's an interesting life. Mm-hmm. But when you hear people like, and then I didn't get that role, and then eventually I did. And that's not...
I think Bieber had an autobiography when he was like
Justin
20.
Bieber's, like, at the end of his book, he was like, and it continues to go very well. So when we were coming up with the book, I was like, let's just do like half the book as a memoir, but hopefully make it funny. Like the story about me putting a gun in my mouth. You'll see, it's hilarious, but true. And then we were like, what can we do after that? And then we're like, well, that Joel Osteen guy is pretty popular. And when you type in the word Joel, it's always Osteen first, and he will rue the day. So make the other half, you know, a fake self-help book. So it's fun. So anyway, what I'm saying is it's the most honest... honest biography ever written. And but it really, I really, when I hear actors or people in some profession giving advice to other people about something else, I'm like, oof, this is not good. I don't want to, even though he's a nice man, I don't want Tyrese telling me how to live my life. So he put out a book where he was like, how to live like me. First of all, buy a Mercedes.
And so, step one.
Anyway, that's a very long explanation. Yes, I took acting classes.
No, I just mean you didn't have to slog it out and like, you know, the Chuckle Hut, you know, to learn to be funny.
I did improv at the Walla Walla State Prison outside of Seattle, which was...
Why is that not a chapter?
It's boring. No, only one guy got killed. So, no, in slogging it out, again, slogging out... before there was television cameras and movie cameras and actors were paid way too much and treated way too well, actors were like worse than homeless people. They were just wandering the countrysides of Europe going, like in Hamlet, where they were like, would you like a play? We'd like some food for that. So I thankfully grew up in a city that allowed there to be, you know, plays and you could do them. And that was great.
Is that what it was like for you growing up? It was, I will act for food?
No. My parents did very well.
Well,
I grew up in like a really nice suburb. That was the thing. People are like, you know, comedians, they're all tortured. I'm like, I don't know. I wasn't. Will Ferrell's super adjusted and he grew up in a really nice neighborhood in Orange County and he's still super funny. My one adversity, I guess, is that I was blind for 10 years.
That's it?
That was hard. no, I mean, I knew what I liked, and I knew that I was, as you know, in the book, I joke about it a lot, but I couldn't read, so that really made me look stupid in school, as when the teachers would call me stupid. So,
but you were charming enough to get the answers ahead of time from your friends.
Yes. In the book, you'll see. Don't even read the book. Just return it.
That's
tell you about it right now. I'll
chapter
read it out
one.
Loud.
Here we go.
Yes, I cheated all through grade school and high school and college because I couldn't read anything, and I could listen to lectures and go like, got it. but everything else, I would just cheat. And then I got on the football team, and then they had all the answers, and I was like, this is terrific. And but the whole time, all I thought was, I'm not going to spend any time in school. I want to be an actor. So, that made my parents very nervous.
And yet you did the audiobook.
Oh, yeah.
For this book.
My friends, Boyd and Brad, are here. They're right there. They were in the booth while I spent 3 days trying to read the fucking words that I wrote. And I was pretty violent. There was screaming. There was gnashing of teeth. There was throwing. At one point, I got pretty violent and threw a box of Kleenex. And then Stephen Fry, who's on The Great Indoors, who read all of Harry Potter, the guy who they sent from New York to record the book, they're like, that's Stephen Fry. He never makes a mistake. he read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy in one afternoon while checking his phone the whole time. And he is a dream. And I was like, I had 4 cups of coffee. And then the poor engineer was like, Joel, do you mind if we're like, just go fuck yourself and let's do it again. And they're like, no, we got it. You that was good. I was like, oh, we didn't get it. We're going back. Yes. So I'm not a great reader, but because of this, with the soup is all reading or was all reading. I couldn't read a teleprompter and it would take me 4 hours to get through 20 minutes of jokes, which was fun for everyone.
The crew loved you.
You can imagine. They're like, who did we hire? And then you do learn how to read and you get better at it. And then you can eventually do it. Although if you watched Kelly Ripa this morning, I fucked up most of the scripts that I read. I was like, coming up next, the Jeremy Iron Band. No, Jeremy Irons. He's an actor.
Was it weird being
on the movie screen,
being in a booth talking about like your parents having sex and
it's
parts.
Weird. I did that all the time as a kid.
Oh, okay. Okay. Right on.
Yeah.
So that was a comfort zone for you.
Yes. In the book, there are some pictures of my parents having sex. just illustrations of them having sex because my brothers and I are very different. One of them is here tonight. He is a black woman. No. where is my brother? Oh, there he is. Stand up, Stephen. He's only wearing a coat. He's super naked. He's super naked under there. He's an Episcopal priest, and my other brother's an electrician. And so we agreed, I think Steve and I agree, he has a much harder job than either of us because he gets home from each day and he's like, didn't die. And then Steven like helps old people. He has a congregation. What do you call them? Congregations?
Christians?
No, not Christians. Like, duh.
A flock?
it is the Bay Area, so I was like, well. so we decided that because we're all so different, My parents must have conceived us in different positions. And so, of course, Stephen being a priest, the missionary, and then my brother working in kind of construction, so was the jackhammer. And then because I'm an actor and the most kind of ostentatious and out there, reverse cowboy. So, and I thought my very lovely, patient wife, Sarah, had told my parents, which she did. And then tonight, Stephen was like, oh, they didn't know about it. So I think they're going to be complimented. It's a little disturbing because we just took this photo from a wedding shower. It's like the day, it's a week before their wedding of my mom and dad smiling. And we just cut those photos out and put them on the people having sex. So it's my mom in every picture like, just.
They're lovely.
I think it's a compliment for, and shows how athletic they were. You've heard about your parents. You've probably done similar things for your parents.
Just for that one Christmas.
As a political analyst. No political questions so far?
Oh, well, I've got plenty. But you remind me, one of my favorite parts of the book, and probably just because I also have older brothers.
You read the whole thing.
I did. I've got little tabs and stuff.
Amazing.
So you describe life growing up with your brothers. You write here, young boys are like chimps, constantly shrieking, falling from trees, picking and eating insects from each other's fur, and at the first sign of weakness, attacking with the goal of biting off fingers, face, and genitals.
And throwing their shit, their pieces. Yes.
Now, you're a father now. Are your children allowed to run around and have fun like this?
That's all they do. They're two boys. They're nuts. It's really gotten better now, but they were like, I don't need to wipe my butt. And and they were like, it was a clean poop. I don't need to wipe it. And I was like, yeah, but it's a good habit. I'm like, I'm saving paper. And then they are as out of control as we are, or I was with my brothers. Recently my older chipped my tooth when he kicked me in the face. Which I was asking for because it was during a sanctioned wrestling match. because he's gotten bigger now and he knows Taekwondo. And so playing around with dad, I was like, you're going to collapse dad's knee here pretty soon. And then the little one, he's 8, but he's as big as the 11-year-old now practically. And this is not in the book, but you know, they hear me going like, what the fuck is wrong with... No, We let them say fuck or whatever they want for 1 minute a week. And you would be amazed at how quickly it ends swearing in the house. Isaac's the little one, and we were on a plane, and he was watching The Martian because, you know, he's very curious about space travel. And I was like, that's how it works. They send movie stars into space. And but he was just sitting there watching it, and he just goes... He said, fuck. Look, thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for saying that. I relayed this story. Anyway, yes, they are rambunctious. They are constantly bleeding on each other. And
I just mean you let them do what they want to do. You're not one of these parents who you sort of structures playtime and play dates.
That's not because out of organization. That's because I'm too into myself and busy.
Gotcha.
I'm like, daddy's got to go make more magic on TV. See you later. But they don't care about anything I do. They will only come to the great indoor set if there is an exotic animal on set. But they have zero interest in what I'm doing. They don't care. They also go to a school because, and this sounds like so Hollywood, which it is. But you inevitably, if you're in the Hollywood area, everyone there works in television or movies. And so they were like, I remember Isaac coming home and he'd be like, do you think Magnus's daddy is going to make another Batman movie, Dad? And I'd be like, no, I don't. But okay, that's exactly the question I had when I was in preschool to my dad. Yeah, it was great. So anyway, I don't know what I was talking about. They don't care what I do, which I think is great. It would be so weird if my kids were like, you mind signing this for me, Dad?
Yeah.
It would be weird. The only time they get excited is if they're like so Allison Brie's boyfriend is Dave Franco, and they were like, he's playing the Green Ninja in the new Ninjago movie. And they were like, what do you think the Green Ninja's doing today?
Like, and that's I'm a like, celebrity.
Probably having sex with Allison Brie. That will not be in the movie.
Now, you're, do you need to get that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's my brother texting me. This is going terribly, Joel. What the fuck? You're talking about our parents having sex, swearing a lot. And my lovely sister-in-law, Holly, is here. She is also, she's right there. Stephen is an Episcopal priest, and she's a Lutheran minister. Top that. In Northern California. So they're great. They're getting us all to heaven. So.
Oh, excellent. That's good. You got that.
Stephen became Episcopal priest so he could do it, right? Yeah. That's a good reason.
I know. I'm like, my brother's a mechanic. He's not gonna be that helpful in that regard.
But he can still do it.
Okay, we're gonna move on to.
They don't take a vow of chastity as a mechanic. Imagine how uptight garages would be.
You also in 2014 you did, and again as a political analyst, something so exciting. You hosted the White House Correspondents.
Yes, I did.
Dinner. Very exciting. Yes. Well. He did it well. You should watch it again. I went back and rewatched it, although you have to sit through like a fibromyalgia prescription commercial.
Yeah, I was like,
this is what I'm dealing with. So you sit through 30 seconds of that. You watch it. Okay. It's really, how was that for you? Was there anyone in there you were just sort of excited to meet? Were you sort of...
The president.
Really? Was it Michelle or Barack?
And the Dos Equis guy, the most interesting.
Oh, really? He was there?
He was there. Yes. It was terrifying and wonderful and strange and everything you could. It was all very not what you would. It's all wrong. It doesn't seem like it should be happening because you look out in the audience and everyone is famous and recognizable. So you feel like, oh, I've maybe died. And this is the end of the...
Like that last scene in Titanic where you come downstairs.
Yeah,
well,
oh, no, but it would be the last scene in Titanic as if, you know, the cast of Friends were there and all that. But it... Yes, it all made no sense, so nothing. It was great. I really enjoyed it, though I've never been nervous again since that nerve time.
That must be nice.
Yeah, it's been great. That's where, like, I get on planes, and I'm like, this could go down. I don't care. but then, and you'll see in the book, the 8-year-old, or at the time, 5-year-old, we got into this tiny little room. Where you meet the president with 100 other people, and they're all super famous. And then my 5-year-old was looking pretty red. He was pink. And I thought, he must be nervous, or there's a lot of people. And then the projectile vomiting started. Cut to half the cast of Modern Family and Andrew Luck helping clean up the vomit. And then my mother-in-law came over and went, my purse is gone. And I was like, I don't know. There's the president. I don't think there's a purse snatcher in here. I think maybe it's the most secure room in the world right now. I don't think, yes. Then you meet the president, and the president goes, my wife likes your show. And that was great. And then I was like, is this weird for you? And he's like, yep, you're pretty weird. Yeah, and it's just all very weird and wrong and wonderful and great. And then that's where we chose to, because Boyd and Brad, who are here, I have a group of writers, so I couldn't write all that by myself. I was rehearsing the show beforehand in like a hotel room. I made a fake podium out of gum wrappers, and I would just kept performing the jokes over and over. And that's when we decided we would go after Robert De Niro, knowing he was in the audience, because why would you go after somebody weak when you can go after a national treasure? And that's in the chapter, if you already have the book, there's a chapter called Angela Lansbury Eat a Dick. Which is like in the self-help part when I will teach you how to become a celebrity. And part of that is starting a celebrity feud. And I started one with Robert De Niro. And it's a fake celebrity feud, but the New York Daily News, who thought they thought it was real. And which I was like, this is great. Couldn't be better. So we went after De Niro in the White House. And then we took a photo together. He was like, yeah, good job. You had to do it. I get it. And then De Niro began inviting me to events where I would show up and be like, he'd be like, do it again. And I would just destroy this poor man. And I'd be like, you made grudge, man. It was an honoring him at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York, the Friars Club. It was not a roast. They were like, this is an honoring. And I'm like, why are you asking me? I've never worked with him. And I was like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And so I followed Aretha Franklin, which, again, is a fever dream that I was like, really good. Way to go, Aretha, again. And Christopher Walken spoke, and you're not going to believe this. It kind of went off the rails and made no sense. And and he left the stage I've never seen anyone leave a stage. It's as if someone called him off stage and he just stopped talking. It was so fun. It was so weird because he was like, he literally was like, Bobby and I go on road trips. We've had many and walked off. It was awesome. Anyway. So I got up there and I was like, Mr. De Niro, what a body of work. Grudge match, amazing. And I was like, who is the grudge match against? People who like film? And then I just proceeded to destroy the poor man. And he was standing up and screaming at me, going like, fuck you. And then we literally have done this 3 times since then. I did one 6 months ago at this weird event for the Tribeca Film Festival. I was like, here's Mr. De Niro again. Here we are. Just you and me. When are we going to fuck? And he, again, was just scrambling up and screaming. And there's a thing in the book about how, because he hates getting his photo taken about anything. And he just sits there quietly as the photos are being taken. He's just going, fuck you, 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 fuck you. And that's it. That's I love him. I am really talking a lot.
That's fantastic. They didn't come here to see me. Did you have to submit your jokes ahead of time for the Correspondence Center?
They wanted them. They would like to have seen them so they could prepare for them. Mm-hmm. But I called Seth Meyers because I can just call that guy. And I talked to every host I knew who had hosted it and said, he's like, do not show them their jokes. They're going to ask for them. Do not give them. And everyone was like, don't do it. And I was like, that's why I was like, this is the greatest country in the world. Because if I said half the shit I said to him on stage, I would be in a labor camp in, and not even like a pretty, like if it was Romania, I would be in a labor camp. And it's fine there. You can go on vacation there if you want. But you would be in jail. Like when I said, there was a whole thing about how it was like, in America, our biggest problem is spoilers for television shows. People are like, don't tell me. Spoiler. And then I was like, in Afghanistan, it's like, don't tell me who the drone killed this week. I want to save it for when I get back to the village. And yeah, Obama did not like that at all. But if I tried to tell that joke in the majority of countries on this planet, I would be disappeared. They would just take a plane over the ocean and throw me out. And so that's why I'm like, we live in the greatest country.
Do you still keep up with politics? Are you still?
Nope. I don't know what's going
on. You're done. Okay. That was it. Did it with his writers,
that event,
and that's done.
I was like, well, that's it. Why? What's happened since? Anything?
Have you voted already in California?
Yes, I already voted.
You already did the thing?
Not in California. I'm voting for the prime minister in Australia.
I thought you live in...
I don't know if you know it. They've had 5 prime ministers in 3 years, which is... That's terrible. That's not even... I mean, that's so much worse than like a junior high, right? I mean, it's crazy. Anyway, yes. Have I voted yet? No.
No.
I'll vote the day of.
You go to the polling place?
Yep.
As opposed to like, and you know, in California, you do the absentee.
No, I'm not that organized.
You don't do that. You want the sticker?
I want a sticker. I want to see some old ladies. I want a weird tent that you walk into. Yeah, no, so I haven't. I'm undecided.
Are you endorsing? You're not endorsing any candidate?
Am I endorsing? No. Are you asking me to endorse a candidate?
No, I'm
right
just
now?
Asking. I'm just saying, you're a Scorpio. She's a Scorpio, I feel like.
Oh, is she?
Yes, she is.
No, I'm rooting for Russell Wilson to get it. Quarterback of the Seahawks. yeah, sorry. Sorry about your team. you guys were really good 3 years ago. Wheels came off. We don't need this coach that keeps winning for us. And screw that guy. We have uncomfortable conversations with him. He must be bad at this. Wait a minute. No, who am I? Well, the only reason I'm not endorsing here tonight is because no one's paying me. No, no, because if, well, you're all liberals. If you're a Democrat, you're here, they're like, what's going on, dude? You're a little conservative? So, no, I do think that Donald Trump is an idiot. So, no, he's got some great ideas, and let's just wait and see, guys. I think it's fine. I have only recently been grabbing one pussy. And I admittedly talk about it all the time to her.
So you're planning a run, basically.
I think I would be bulletproof. It would be really weird if I was like, Joel, you got all these tapes about you, just a lot of locker room talk about your wife. I'm like, I know, I'm allowed to. So, hopefully Hillary will get it. I pray to God. Because did you guys see John Oliver last week talk about the Green Party and the Liberal Party? These guys are fucking nut jobs. That guy is really weird.
Gary Johnson? Yeah.
He didn't know what a lepo was. How do I know more? And then the other one was in a band. Ooh. It falls off hard.
Well, while you're here in the Bay Area, we want to make sure we talk to you about one of our beloved residents.
Gavin Newsom, the dreamy, sexy Gavin Newsom. He's dreamy.
You're welcome to
and
talk
about. And what winery
about,
did he used to be associated with?
Plump Jack.
Shit.
Sorry.
All right, you're right.
Sorry. I think backstage we established I know my wine. The Robin Williams, actually, you got a chance to work with him. You talk a little bit about it in the book, but of course, you know, he's such a beloved character. If you could, you know, share. Any insights or stories about him?
Nope, have none. Yes.
Okay.
One of the worst movies of all time. it was called A Merry Friggin' Christmas or a Friggin' Christmas. I can't even remember. It was hard. All I knew was that we were going to make a movie and Robin Williams because it played my dad because we look a lot alike. And he was a childhood hero of mine. Since my childhood, and I loved spending time. I mean, he was the coolest dude, and he was just the greatest. And he said "fuck" more times than anyone I have ever met. And if he found something funny, he would not laugh. He would just go, "Oh fuck." And or you go, oh fuck me, oh fuck me, and so there was kids on set all the time, and they were like, Robin, and he's like, oh fuck me, and he was, you know, like I've only worked with a couple people where I went, you're different than everybody, and there's a very good reason why you're super famous and beloved, because you're different. You were born in some other planet, and you came down here, and just knew how to do things better than everybody in what you do. And so every time he kind of was performing, I was like, fuck, look at that. And so I couldn't believe I was in a movie with him. I couldn't believe it. I thought I won some sort of lottery or some sort of silent auction item where, like, you get to be in a movie scene with Robin Williams. And so we would text, and then when he passed, Tim Heidegger, who was in the movie too, he texted, fuck me. And it was as sad and as funny, and I was like, we both knew, but then he just texted that, and that was one of the saddest things. I couldn't believe it. So yeah, so that was a horribly sad, and I miss him, and I would love to text with him again. I'm now friends with his daughter Zoe, and so yeah, that was now it's gotten serious, but yeah, I miss him to death, and it was so sad. So I wish to God he was still here. Yeah.
Wow.
You didn't expect that, did you?
Wow, that was well. No. I mean, it's wonderful. I think we appreciate that.
Yeah. We'd go out to dinner during the movie. And everyone would drink wine, and he was sober, and he was like, "Fuck me! All right, go ahead."
well, you know, you talk about another celebrity in the book, and I would love for you to share some stories about him as well. He's also sort of an icon of a celebrity, which is Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase, yes, I thought you were going to say the ShamWow guy.
He's the closer.
Yes, Chevy. I can't believe you brought him up.
Are you kidding?
There's an instruction guide in the book on how to fight him. you think I'm kidding?
I feel prepared now. I'm good.
Again, in a whole other spectrum, yes, I was in the Community, or as NBC called it, what's that show again? I got an idea. Let's put it up against the Big Bang Theory. Then
you're following the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, well, I was like, I'm joining them. yeah, I had a meeting with Les Moonves a couple years ago, and who is the head of CBS and controls your life, and you don't know it. He is the most powerful man. But I said one of his first questions was, why would Bob, who is the head of NBC, was like, why would he put Community up against Big Bang Theory? It doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, I know. Put anything up. Just put nut shots from YouTube up there, because there's anything else. You can't put another comedy up against the biggest comedy in the world. So, as Dan Harmon referred to it, as the Vietnam of time slots. And yeah, I know. Too soon. And so, yeah. So, anyway, yes, Chevy, who, when I first began working with him, I was like, this is Chevy fucking Chase. I mean, I cannot believe my crazy weird fortune that I am in a show with Chevy. And Chevy, one of the reasons I put a chapter in the book is people are like, you're finally spilling the beans about Chevy. And I was like, have you read any interview with me in the last 7 years? Because that's all anybody asked me about was about him. They're like, Chevy is crazy as everyone says. And I was like, have you seen anything he's ever done? Yes, he's crazy and wonderful and crazy. Chevy, I was always like, Chevy never wanted to be on set. Really, he didn't. The schedule was nuts. He didn't really. I was like, Chevy doesn't want to be there. Just go read The Deadline, The Variety, or The Hollywood Reporter, and he will say, like, the hours are nuts. And he would always be like, these jokes, he would always claim some of the jokes weren't funny, which I was like, Chevy, when you say them, they're funny. And he'd be like, fuck you. but I would fight Chevy physically because he would sometimes, I think he would get, he just because I was a younger man, he'd be like, fuck you for being young. And and then I think he mistook me a couple times for a boxer from the 40s. But so we would fight, and it got to that weird thing when you would, like, be in a high school party, and a couple wrestlers were there, and they were drinking too much, and then they would kind of start roughhousing and horseplay, and then it would get a little more serious, and then all the girls would clear off to the deck, and these guys would fucking go for it. And so one time I dislocated his shoulder. Not because he was asking me to do it. I know he was like, he was asking for it, but in this scene, I was holding up these pads, or he was holding up these pads teaching my character how to box, and he's like, "You're not hitting me!" And I was like, "I know, we're pretending. And I'm pretending to be someone named Jeff, and you're..." And we're pretending this is a community college, but look, no ceilings. And it's crazy. Yeah, and then he was like, "You're not hitting me." And so finally he was like, you've got to hit me. And I was like, "Fine, I'll hit you." I threw a left into his left left pad, and I'm not a boxer, and I'm right-handed when it comes to hitting people. You'll see. And I hit him, and he collapsed on the ground. And that's when the director walked out and was like, "What are you doing? He's an old man." And I say all this, yeah, and yet, like, I spoke to Chevy 6 months ago. I'm playing him in a movie coming out. So, see? Ha-ha, got ya. And, yes, and we talked about, it's about a movie about the time in the 70s about this guy named Doug Kenny, who invented the National Lampoon. He wrote Animal House, and he wrote Caddyshack, Doug Kenny did, and then he fell off a cliff in Kauai and died. Under circumstances where they're not sure whether he committed suicide or he just fell off a cliff because he was so high on cocaine. It's fun. It's a fun movie. And and Chevy was his best friend, and so we had a long, great talk about it. So it's a strange thing because Chevy, there's no doubt, and the reputation of his can be difficult, but there's a sweetness to him that I definitely enjoyed. I mean, other than when he was swinging at me. So, yeah. So that was a long answer.
Well, you know, you make fun of IMDb, but one of the message boards said that you would make a good Fletch.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. See, look, four people
we've
agree.
We've got a million apiece.
Yeah,
there
the
you
thing
go.
With Fletch,
boom,
though,
your movie.
I mean, Fletch was his greatest role, I think, yeah. And you will only be compared to him. So, because it was so good. So, that's, you have to wait a long time.
So, you're turning it down already?
I've turned it down four times.
Oh, really?
No, they've
these
never
four,
offered
these
it.
Four
I'm not offered
right?
those roles. So, for a while, it was around for a while, and then it all went away again. Anyway, that's a great story.
So, let's talk about the soup. Not talk
yes.
soup, everyone. Listening
fine.
To this podcast,
I think these
you,
people know
you guys
it's
know,
not.
But the podcast people need to end. It's not
a lot
talk.
Of them
it's not talk
asleep.
Soup. It's the soup. Are there any shows from that you still watch just because you totally love them?
There's no shows left that when I made fun of. I mean, no. I mean, I think Survivor.
Like the Real
still
Housewives.
On.
I mean, you know.
I could never get through one episode of that, so I would always have an intern watch it. So
what else would you have interns watch that you just like? Were like, I'm
everything.
Not watching.
I would just show up and read the jokes.
Oh,
and
okay.
No. There was only I enjoyed shows like Dirty Jobs with Mike Rowe or Deadliest Catch or even Ice Road Truckers, even though the way reality TV changed drastically from 2004 to 2012, it used to be there were like no one knew really how it worked. It really became big with Survivor and the Osbournes. And so Survivor was the Survivor was a game show ultimately, and then the Osbournes was just following around a crazy drug addict. And so that's when Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown had their show, and which at the time was so wonderful to make fun of because it was a publicist nightmare. And I mean, obviously it has all ended in horrible tragedy, but at the time people were like, "Can you fucking believe this show is on?" And that's all different now. Cause now it's all like with the Kardashians, it is all scripted out. It is all planned. It's all like, if you were like, "We should go down to the sunglasses store, huh?" "Yeah, we should." "Okay, great." We get there. There's Justin Timberlake. "I can't believe he's here." And they're like, "We should open our own sunglasses shop." "Yes, we should." And then the spinoff series. So, but Survivor's still going and is still, you know, a good show. I mean, that first Survivor was one of the best things on television. And so it has changed drastically. It's all planned now. So, E! Turned away from the soup when they put us on Wednesdays for our weekly wrap-up show that wrapped up the week on a Wednesday.
Say that five times faster.
Yeah, it made not a lot. It's become the Kardashian Network, and they were not big fans of comedy towards the end. There was a number of changes in administration.
Would publicists call you or celebrities call you and say, I can't believe you said that mean thing about me, or, you know, made fun of me?
No, only as in the book, you'll see who got upset at me. Mickey Rourke wanted to kick my ass at one point, which he can fight. So I would need like a bottle or a baseball bat to fight him. But no, he was the only one that got upset for. And then Tyra Banks stopped us for a while from using her clips because she worked for King World, which was a huge syndicated television show or syndicated shows, huge company. And they stopped us for a while. But and then Kris Kardashian, this is before they had become the most popular loved family in the world, she would call every week like some neighbor who was like, your baseball landed in my yard again. And I pissed off a number of people, but nothing really. I always said that people always hung themselves with the clips that we showed.
Now, true. The show wraps up. You now are on fancy other shows.
Fancy other shows.
Well, I just mean, you know, like network shows.
I did do that network sitcom for 6 years.
And then there's this one. And then now you're CBS. What's the best perk?
The money.
Well, I mean,
I am so overpaid. And the free shit. I mean, this is in the book. Again, I will teach you how to get free stuff. Once you become a celebrity, you get people start giving you stuff that you can totally afford, but they just want to give it to you. There is nothing on my body right now that I paid for.
Really?
Nothing.
All free.
Everything I'm wearing is free or stolen. This beer was free. I mean, yes.
That's true. We found it in the fridge.
Yes, it's all. No, I always say, like, people are like, is it hard when people walk up to you and want your picture? And they're like, people walk up and say they like me. And rarely they were like, your show sucks. Can I get a photo? But if you're like a meter maid, people are spitting on you. And
we've seen it here in San Francisco. For
yes.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, my older brother, he uses huge amounts of electricity and puts it into buildings. And again, he walks out going like, hope I didn't fuck that up. I'm the luckiest person alive. My little brother helps old people die. People were like, our grandfather is dying. Please come to the hospital. And he reads them last rites and then sits with the family. I'm like, oh, that fart joke didn't land. That's my problem. So
keeping it real. We are about to open it up to audience Q&A. We got some folks with microphones who will be coming around. So in just a few minutes.
Again, you should be asking my brother questions. I'm going to be like, is there going to be a movie for Community? Yes, I think so. I hope. We'll see.
Wait, is there?
Yes. I'm announcing it tonight. The Community movie comes out next week. It's called Doctor Strange. It's a real, as Dan says, it's very meta. It's my character is played by Benedict Cumberbatch. It's really...
The soup being
and,
so...
And by the way, I am announcing I'm playing Lando Calrissian in the next Star Wars movie. So. I'm very excited.
Doing a show, something like The Soup, where it's so sort of clickable and sort of, tweetable was, of course. But, now you're in a show where you're dealing with people who are sort of, seemingly the kind of part of the joke is they're sort of obsessed with social media. Do you feel like your show, like The Soup, contributed to that? This whole idea of, quick snips?
No, because I'd be a billionaire,
Vine.
I think. I don't know. No, because Talk Soup was around in 1991 mm-hmm. with Greg Kinnear, yeah. And I think the show was effective because people, no matter whether they're watching TV or YouTube or Instagram, they go, that's stupid. I wish other people would agree with me that was stupid. And then that was what The Soup was. We're like, hey, look at all these stupid things we got together. And instead of sitting in a chair in my underwear at home, I was in a suit and jeans. So I think that was the appeal. And it wrapped up, you know, what we were talking about. Obviously, with the elections happening, it would have been very fun this year to cover. I mean, with Billy Bush becoming becoming white hot. I mean, he was he was phosphorus, and I was just like, it's all coming together. So yeah, that would have been really fun. But I don't know. I mean, maybe. I think people use, people use clips all the time to send them around. So maybe that's why the show's not around anymore, because people didn't want to wait, you know, at the end of the week. Maybe they do. I don't know. Maybe I'll do it again if I'm offered enough money.
Read the book. He'll teach you how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are we
done?
Marisa, are we? No, not. Are we? I'm sorry. No, I just want to make sure we have time for audience questions. I know so many people came out, so many great fans.
They did.
Are they going to bring the lights up? We're going to bring the lights up a little bit.
No, keep the lights down.
And then folks.
Look at all you people. Jeez,
folks,
this is
who
great.
Have, you can see who you're sitting next to now.
Look at all the white people that came. I am really appealing to a diverse audience.
So folks, if you have questions, just raise your hand. We have people with microphones. He'll come around.
Maybe no one has a question.
So it's stage right?
Yeah.
There we go.
Hello. So this is a very simple question, but I think it can
I'll be
tell
the
you.
Judge of that.
Okay. It tells you a lot about a person. So who was your role model growing up, or who is your role model now, and why?
Let's see. You're from South Africa?
Yes. Well done.
Yeah. So I'm going to go Nelson Mandela, probably. Yeah. He's great. Because he was hilarious. You mean a role model, like someone who taught me how to, that person's not an asshole. I should be like that. Or like someone who was famous. I was like, I want to be like that. That type of thing.
Anyone who's who inspired you, or kind of like someone that you wanted to be like, doesn't have to be someone famous.
Yeah, then it was definitely Nelson Mandela. No. Oh, that inspired me. Boy, that's a good question. I don't know. As a kid growing up, I would watch Monty Python and see John Cleese, and I would go, that guy kind of looks like my dad, but he is even sillier than my dad, and he's on camera walking very funny and wearing a suit. And I remember thinking, like, that's something that I would do. I would like to do that. So that, yes. And so I met him a few years ago, and I was speechless. So, and then I saw The Jerk with Steve Martin, and I was, then I knew, now I know Steve Martin, thank you, and I realize now he's a wonderful man, but I was like, oh, you can't really describe to somebody what they did for you as a kid. The other thing was, and I'm not kidding, I listened to Bill Cosby's records endlessly. I mean, I broke them. They were so they were so important to me, listening to his records. Again, so those records really inspired me. I haven't raped anyone. But but as far as the way he did jokes, I was like, I just was mesmerized by how he told stories. Mm-hmm. That's a fun tightrope to walk on. So, but thank you, South African.
If this I asked really nicely, would you take your shirt off?
You gotta... No. Just... I would take my pants off, but... Because no one's seen that side of it. No, I can't. You have to pay me. And I need to do some waxing before I can do that. But thank you. I also have four nipples that need, that two need to be covered. But thank you, lady, and I will see you after. That worked.
Sorry, more of a serious question over here.
Yeah, I mean, with a guy with that type of shirt, yeah. Definitely.
That's a serious question here.
I'm sorry.
Boxer or briefs, and who gave them to you?
So let's get this straight. Let's talk about the second part of your question. You assume my underwear was given to me. Now, I do get all my stuff for free, but it's a hybrid. They are not briefs and they are not boxers. They are tight, but they go down to here. So I don't know what those would be called. Like, just...
Boxer briefs.
But are they boxer briefs? But they're not loose, which I never understood boxers because I felt like I was putting on a pair of shorts. Boy, who would have thought this was the issue, though? People like, does he support Trump or Hillary? What's going on? No, they're fucking boxer briefs, asshole. They're stretchy. They feel like nothing. It's like I'm wearing a silk worm all over me. All it's just like a group of them. What do you wear, sir? Nothing. Your briefs. Yeah. They're white tidy whiteys are as the old, oh, they are the, they're as sexy as cancer. Stop. Stop. Yes, sir. Oh, over here.
Here you go. Oh, hey. Do you still hang out or communicate with any of your co-stars from Community?
Yes, I do. We are on a group text together. That's not a joke. And we text things to each other all the time. We really do. Jim Rash, and I'm not kidding, is living with my family right now. The dean, so it's become a sitcom. We have this little side house that he sold his house, and he got this insane deal on it. But they were like, you have to be out in 15 days. This, again, sounds like a sitcom. And so Jim is staying with us. It's great. And the kids love him. And anyway, so he's staying with us. But we really are on a group text. And we have a dinner about every 6 months. So, yes, so we're all still talking to each other. Thank God. We all really liked each other. And so we spent so much time with each other that if we didn't like each other, there would have definitely been a mass murder.
Is Chevy on the group text?
Fuck no. No, Chevy's not on the text just because Chevy doesn't know how to text. This is a guy that when we started said, we'll email you the call time. And he was like, I can't. My email's in New York. And not... A joke. Not a joke. But I swear to you when I say this, Chevy and I have a tentative dinner date pretty soon. I don't know. Once he reads this book, he's going to probably lose his mind. But but it's nothing that I haven't already said. So, so yes, we're all on a text together. We really are.
Have one over here.
Yeah, speaking of community. Whoa. I'm a Spanish teacher myself. Why did you choose Spanish?
I didn't do it. Dan Harmon did.
Why not French? Why not biology?
I did not write the show. And believe me, when I found out Ken Jeong was going to play a Spanish teacher, I was like, why not French? Why not biology? Why? And so I don't know why. Just because you live in a bubble where you think everyone should be Spanish teachers doesn't mean that you're right. I mean, I don't know. It was just that whatever, because Dan is a genius and he decided to do Spanish. And, you know, Ken knows a bunch of Spanish, so it kind of worked out. His wife is fluent, so that's the answer to that. Thank very, you. Very specific question. There's one over there. In the corner?
I think there's one waiting right here.
One there? Oh, yes, yeah. Sir.
Thank you so much for signing my birthday card on the soup. One of your producers, Ted Turner. I mean,
what?
Tim Turner. Turner family.
You're Tim Turner's dad.
His dad's best friend.
You're his dad's best friend.
Right.
So Tim Turner was one of the, sometimes directed the soup, and or he was always there. You're Tim Turner's dad's best friend.
Oh, yeah.
So you are welcome. And
he said you like Indian food. What is your favorite Indian dish?
Oof. I like that vindaloo a lot.
Chicken? Lamb? You got to be specific. You worked in the soup.
Just because I know how you're going to react, beef. And
I'm not vegetarian.
I love going to Mumbai and going like, where can I get a fucking steak around here?
Thank you.
You're welcome. I've never had beef vindaloo, so.
There's one back here in the corner.
Yes.
Hey, Joel.
Hi.
I want to know what your Halloween costume is going to be this year.
Oh.
Great question.
Good question. Well, I like knives and swords, and I own a lot of them. And if you watched any of my Instagram videos promoting the book, you saw me slicing a lot of watermelons with them. And I'm going to play a guy wearing every knife that I own. And I also bought this mask that is just a piece of skin, so it looks like I'm a serial killer who's cut out a piece of skin. I'm also, well, I'm not kidding, we're having about 100 kids over to the house for a party, so I'm going to hug a lot of them. Yeah, this is a disturbing part of me that not a lot of people know, but I keep knives. I have a lot of them. And I don't have any guns. I have one gun that shoots knives, but that's it. So, yes, people, and I cut the end of my finger off with one of my beloved knives about 2 months ago during a rehearsal for The Great Indoors. Check my Instagram, you'll see it. They drilled a hole through my nail to hook the end of my finger on, and I took a video of it, and I've never had a bigger boner. My brother's so proud of me right now. Two more questions, according to the head of which club is this?
Inforum.
What do we got?
Does your wife and your children think you're funny?
Best question so far. Except for the non-question of thank you for signing my birthday card. I'm kidding. That was great. It worked out great. Here's what's great about them. I dated a woman one time years ago that laughed at everything I said, and I felt like I was in a weird Twilight Zone, and I would get to the point where I'd just go, corn cob, and she'd be like, and I could never, ever be with someone like that. And so I had her disappeared. So my wife, I will tell jokes to my wife, and she'll go, good one. I get her to laugh like every 2 months, and when I do, she's always like, well, that was actually funny. And then if Boyd and Brad and I, who are here, I'll be hosting something, and we will write a bunch of jokes, and then I will read them to Sarah, and almost 99% of the time, she looks depressed after I've told her these jokes with no reaction, and she'll be like, I hate it. And she'll be like, oof, and I'll be like, perfect. These jokes will work great. And then my kids do not, they are very tough audiences, and when Eddie was about six, he was about five, I'd say something to him, he's like, are you being sarcastic? Because it's not funny. They really don't. They'll once in a while laugh, but it's hard for me to get them going. Like, so Brad did the voice on all these videos I did as promoting, like, things like this thing where it was like, coming up on our book tour, San Francisco, Chicago, Illinois, and then we go, Los Angeles, and then Ridgeway, New Jersey, or whatever the hell it was. And our kids were just like, that is the funniest thing I've ever heard. That Brad is so funny. And then Eddie will just have Brad do it to him. Eddie will just stand there, and he'll just go, another one. And then Brad will be like, Kyle MacLachlan. Yeah. So really good question, ma'am. Thank you. We have time for 18 more questions.
We have time for one.
Oh, there's one question over there. That crazy lady waving and standing. Oh, no. We should have ended with the other one. No. What's your question, ma'am? I don't care.
So, Community is one of the few shows that has actually made me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find American comedy that funny.
Great. I'm glad I know your opinion. No, because all British humor is great. Said the lover of the show, the Vicar of Dibley, was amazing.
So my question to you is, do you watch any British comedy? And if so, what are your favorite shows?
Well, I think we get the best British comedy over here in America. And just like here, 90% of everything sucks. And so we never get your shitty comedy. And we all know what it
exists. That's not true, by the way.
That is arrogance. And that... as you know, when Monty Python was at the height of its popularity...
I wasn't born then,
right.
So I don't know.
Again.
So. But I heard.
Oh, no, just because something happened before you were born doesn't mean it didn't happen.
But you know,
or was important.
That's a good one. But so here's the thing. British people don't watch Benny Hill and Monty Python.
Right.
No one's
watching
that.
Again, this proves my point.
But I'm just saying, do you watch any British comedy? Like, did you watch The British Office? Did you watch any of those British shows?
Yeah, I did. No, and they were great. Really, really good. And I watched Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, which was one of my favorite of all time. Did you like that?
No, I don't know what that is.
All right, so there we go. You don't... That was starring Richard Ayoade, and so yes, I do. I like British very much, but when British people are like, "We have the best comedy in the world," not okay, true.
Thank
you have you. Some of the best comedy, just like we do. Thank you. Yeah.
All right.
Right on. All right.
Okay.
So
we have that web one there.
We have what?
We have one last thing that we always do at an Inforum event.
All right. Before you say this.
Okay.
So I'm going to sign your books when I get out there, and I want to take selfies with each and every one of you. But have your stupid cameras ready, because don't go like, do you have a photo? They're like, yeah, let me get it out of its dime case and turn it on, and just have it ready because the people from the Commonwealth Club are terrified that they're like, we have a house photographer, you take no selfies, and I'm like, I'm happy taking selfies, and it was like it was The Shining, and she was Shelley Duvall screaming. So just have your cameras ready. I'm happy to do it, and then I'm happy to sign your book. I can't wait to meet you, except for the British lady. I'm kidding. You're
okay,
wonderful.
Okay. Well,
she's already left.
Before we wrap up, we have a tradition here at Inforum where we ask all of our guests the same question, and that is, what is your 60-second idea to change the world?
I am an actor. Talk to Elon Musk about that one. I don't know. There should be more 35-inch-sized jeans. Because it goes from 34 up to 36. What's wrong with 35?
Everyone, please.
See? Everyone agrees.
Sorry.
And I would agree, like, a for real, serious waterproof mascara. Because it doesn't
exist.
Thank you. Yeah. Wear sunscreen? I don't know.
Okay. 35-inch jeans. Got
I can't
got pretty
imagine
good response. I don't think you could top that.
Yeah.
That's kind
see,
of
I can't imagine the number of authors that got up here and be like, here's what we should do, guys. I'm just like, oh, fuck you.
And that's what we'll put on the ongoing list of ideas. Everyone, let's give a final big round of applause to Joel McHale.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. I'll see you after this, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just have your cameras ready. Melissa Kane, everyone.
Thank you.
I'll see you out there. Go get in line. It'll be quick.
Yeah. Get your cameras ready. Get out
into
the lobby.
We did it!
Yes.
I'll see you out there, you guys. See you in the lobby.